And here are Erica Merkland and...
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know, my heart was thrilled as I came in today. There's so many people that are gardening now. As I drive by, there's all these little gardens, and the flowers are out, and it's so beautiful.
Victory gardens all over the place.
And I always say that I grow vegetables for my body and flowers for my soul. And so my soul was just thrilled today because the flowers are beautiful right now. So, Erica, are you harvesting anything in your garden yet?
Actually, right now I'm just harvesting...
Kale.
And that's pretty much it. Because I, for the most part, I started my kale early, as well as all of my other brassicas. But I don't have a greenhouse or a high tunnel to really start.
And that's the ticket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason I asked that question is I had somebody ask me yesterday, or we were talking about it, and I've been harvesting for quite a while. And they said, oh, you have such a green thumb, Mardell. And it's like, well, it has nothing to do with having a green thumb. It has to do with if you start your plants early. Like I always start a bunch of lettuce early and Asian greens and... So that's what I've been harvesting, and I've been eating now for about 2 or 3 weeks out of the garden. And I just want to mention that that's possible. If you have a good windowsill or you have a greenhouse or a way to get those plants started early, you can. You can get that lettuce already about 2 or 3 inches high when you put it out, and so therefore you'll have good lettuce by now.
Yeah, and I have a friend, too, who does have a high tunnel, and she's been growing her zucchinis outside, but she visited a friend who has a high tunnel, and she's been growing her zucchinis inside, and she's harvesting already.
You could probably do that. Mine are outside. I got flowers. I got little babies so far, but that's all. So this cool weather is definitely changing. Every year is a little different, and this year is different.
Yes, it is.
So the reason I asked you here, Erica, is because I want to talk about hugel culture, which you have been doing. And for those of you who do not know what that word means, it is it German?
I think it's German. Yeah. And it roughly means mound culture. And so essentially what hugel culture is you're sort of kind of composting in place in a way. It mimics the nutrient cycle in nature. So essentially what hugel culture is you'll take branches and any wood that's like decomposing, and it doesn't necessarily even need to be decomposing, but you'll be adding water to it to help that process along. So essentially what you would do is you take the branches, the wood, layer it with leaves, grass clippings, straw, seaweed, obviously compost too. And then on the very top, you're going to put your topsoil.
So do you layer that stuff or do you just throw it all in together or does it make any difference?
I don't know that it actually makes a difference. Okay. But you definitely want to have the heavier stuff on the bottom, obviously the wood.
Right. And like you're talking big chunks of wood, aren't you?
It can
like
be big chunks of wood.
I mean, people have said they've used punky firewood. And so we're talking big chunks of wood, logs that are decomposing.
Yep. Okay. So this is a great way for people to utilize any of their yard waste that they might have a burn pile that they're burning, or they might be hauling this off to the dump. No need to do that anymore. Right. You can just take this.
Put it in your garden bed.
Turn it into a beautiful garden bed. And so there's a couple of different ways to do this. One way people can do it is to just take cardboard and do a thick layer and then layer all the things I just mentioned on top of that. And then you can plant. I suggest doing non-root crops the first couple of years because there might be an impediment with things that aren't broken down yet. I've had a lot of success with kale and with zucchinis and different squashes.
So by non-root crops, you're saying probably not maybe beets or carrots the first year.
Okay. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And so you can do it with just layering right on top of the soil. Another way, too, is to actually dig a trench and then put your wood in there and then build on top of that. And so that's basically a way of containing water or storing water in there. And I want to also say that with each application of maybe the leaves or the grass clippings, make sure you water it really, really well, because that's going to really jumpstart the microorganisms to be breaking down all this material.
Okay, make sure it's really, really pretty wet.
Yes.
Now, are you just mounding this, or are you putting it in a raised bed, or how are you doing
it? You could do it either way. You could do it right on top of the ground with the cardboard. You could create a raised bed, and I've done that, and I still have wood in there breaking down. And then also, you know, I've read, I haven't actually done this, but they're suggesting to make these mounds like 3 feet high, and you can and 3 feet wide, and then you have sort of vertical planting too.
I've seen mounds that are like 6 feet high that are huge, that they, and then they just last for years. You just plant on top of them and around them,
and supposedly then you may not need to water for the entirety of your season, but it needs to get the water.
There's another person here in town, Leslie Downer, has done this quite a bit and successfully, and she has done it in raised beds, and she told me that her beds are about 16 inches high, and she fills them about two-thirds full of the stuff that you mentioned. And what she does is that after she puts all of the brush and the wood and all that, then she kind of fills it with wood chips, which as gardeners, we're told, don't put wood chips in a garden. They're going to rob your nitrogen. Well, the latest research on that is old wood chips, or even anything that's fresh, possibly could take nitrogen that first year or so. But anything that's not really fresh is not going to rob nitrogen. That just is fine. They're finding that not to be true. So she has been very successful in using a lot of wood chips to kind of fill in those spaces. But those spaces are okay. She says that she's pulled it apart, and she finds that the roots go down along those little branches that are in there, and the roots are very happy. So this has been done in a lot of places, and now in our area, it's such a valuable tool because it's so hard to get
so much of that brush.
Yeah, and it's so hard to get soil here. There's only a few of us that are lucky enough to have soil to dig in their yards and actually have soil. So it's a really nice thing for us to do here because you have to use so much less soil.
And what about cedar chips? Would that be a no-no?
Well, that is, most people would say that to be the case, that cedar has a growth inhibitor in it, which it does, a growth inhibitor. But I have been growing in cedar beds for quite some time, and I have not found that effect on the edge of my beds. So I that's all I can say. I wouldn't say a yay or nay on that. So
I wouldn't know either, but my intuition would be to not use them. Because if people use cedar so that it doesn't rot and decompose.
Right. And you want it to decompose.
Seems like you want to have, you'd prefer to have wood that would
that's
going to
rot. Yeah. We love that rotten wood.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and so do plants, it seems. So anything else on hugel culture that your experience has taught you?
Well, I would say, after you get your first layer of branches in, try to stomp on them and break them down as much as possible.
Okay.
You know, it's still fine if they're bigger, but it's nice to have it a little bit more compacted. And then you can put your materials on there and stomp it down to try to really like fill in those holes and get it wet. And and then also I'd really recommend try to get all your materials together. You know, get your cardboard, get the wood together, get all of the materials, and then put it all together. You know, obviously, like I said, really water it thoroughly. And then, and this is something that you can do now. This isn't something that people have, like, missed the window of opportunity.
It's true.
Do it now. Get it prepared. You can...
you could even, if you get it ready and you have it ready in a few weeks, you can plant some lettuces and those crops that grow early. Spinach, I always plant spinach in August. And so you can still do some of that kind of stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. Even if you don't plant this year,
that's okay.
Then you're ahead of the game for next year.
That's
and what you can do too is cover it with clear plastic.
Oh, it'll
and
help
that
it.
Will help warm it up, and it'll just help the process along for it to decompose.
So get some heat in there. So all right. Okay. Enough about that. If you have any questions, you can write into KHNS, garden@khns.org, and we will send it on to the people who have done it to answer those questions. So we got a question in this week that I want to read, and we will give our opinion on. I don't know if we've got the right answer, but we'll give our opinions at least. So, hi, I have a small greenhouse with tomatoes, peppers, strawberries, cucumbers, and I have peas and beans outside. The veggies inside are producing small fruits, but the outside ones are only producing foliage. My question is, am I using too much nitrogen in my feeding regime for the fruiting season, which is just starting up? Once a month, I've been using bat guano, pre-soaked in water for 24 hours. Every time I water, about every other day, I add pulverized eggshells and coffee grounds, pre-soaked in water. 3 times a week, I spritz with a half teaspoon Epsom salts and a quart of water. I made one application of organic fertilizer 342, but almost all of my planting medium did not have any fertilizer in it to start. One time I used a little kelp as a top dressing. Will this fertilizing routine be too much nitrogen from now on and turn all my veggies into just a big patch of greenery? So, do you have any opinion on that, Erica?
Well, a few things. One is that it seems that peas and beans maybe aren't going to fruit quite yet.
No, whereas I think it's too early
for
that.
It's too early for that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas tomatoes and peppers tend to get an earlier start, so I can see them producing, and it's time for strawberries to start producing. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. There's that. As far as the...
But one thing I will to emphasize there, don't panic. It's still June. If you don't have flowering yet, you know, we still have some time. So that's my first thing is don't necessarily panic, especially outside.
Right.
You're seeing the advantage of having a greenhouse here.
Exactly.
You know, that little bit of heat is what's pushing those inside plants to be able to flower.
It's true. And mm-hmm. they're different plants that you're focused on.
Yeah.
The peas and the beans, and they mm-hmm. tend to come on a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I would look at is how big are the beans and peas? And maybe they do need to continue to grow mm-hmm. and have more nitrogen. But I do think that... you know, so that's hard to say that it's time to switch.
When do you know when to? And what we're talking about is we're switching from a nitrogen fertilizer, which is what is going to help those plants put lots of foliage on,
right.
to a higher phosphorus, which is the middle number of
right.
the NPK, which is going to help give it more flowering
right.
and seed production and that sort of thing. So that's what
right.
we're talking about. When do you make that switch?
Well, in a nutshell, basically when you start to see flowers.
When you start to see flowers.
And
it's kinda,
then mm-hmm. What I like to do is I like to do a foliar spray. Mm-hmm. And I make my own fertilizer. And it's basically a fruit-based fertilizer. And but so when you start to see the flowers, then I would switch to the phosphorus mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to help the fruiting
And that
process.
Doesn't mean that you can't give it some nitrogen. But just don't make that your emphasis. Otherwise, you will end up with a big patch of greenery.
Right. And,
yeah.
and no fruit.
And or later fruit. That the plants will eventually fruit if they're high in nitrogen, but it's just going to be later.
Right.
Because you're giving that plant lots of sign to grow.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I do think that it's good, with Epsom salt for magnesium
right.
and then the calcium, I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. that's
the Epsom salts is magnesium mm-hmm. mostly, and that's great. Tomatoes really need that, like mm-hmm. that. Most plants do. So you can do that, but don't think you're giving them nitrogen with that. The
right.
eggshells, the Epsom salts. The coffee grounds, from the research that I've done, highly unlikely that is having much of an effect, especially with nitrogen. I could be wrong, but the research that I've done is showing that doesn't... it doesn't do much, but who knows?
Right. So. But it makes your the rest of your mess smell a little
it
bit.
It does, and
more
you know what?
Pleasing.
It means that you've drank that coffee, which means that you might be in a better mood to talk to your plants, and your plants will be happy because you've talked to them.
Definitely need to talk to plants.
You do. So, okay. So I think that is. We've got a few more questions, but I think we'll wait till next week.
All right.
And next week was the fundraiser.
It is. It's the
yeah.
fun drive.
So you
and
garden conversation enthusiasts, you need to support the radio station. So be
right.
prepared for that. We're gonna ask.
We're gonna
you to
ask.
Do that.
Yeah, we're gonna so, ask. All right.
So,
well, thank
okay.
you so much.
Happy gardening.
You too.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Joni.
Bye bye. Okay. Bye bye.